Good morning. And welcome to Stony Creek Church, our 11 o'clock service. So glad you could be here with us this morning. I invite you to get your outline out of your program so you can follow along with this morning's message. And I want to welcome our online family as well, watching. Glad to have you with us too. Well, it's October, and besides the leaves turning and the temperatures cooling and the daylight hours shortening, we'll see Halloween decorations in the stores and in the front yards. Of course, I don't put any stock in ghosts or goblins or spooks, but today we're learning about a genuine witch. Not the Halloween type, but a sinister force behind much of the world's evil. We might call her the mother of all witches, the wicked spirit of Jezebel. Today is part three in our series called Power Encounters, The Life of Elijah. Elijah was a powerful prophet that God raised up at one of the darkest times in Israel's history. It's the year 870 BC, 29 centuries ago. A wicked king has come to power. His name is Ahab. And for the first time in Israel's history, Israel's one true God, his Hebrew name is Yahweh, has been declared unconstitutional. God's chosen people, Israel, have abandoned the one true God to worship an imposter. Ahab and his queen Jezebel have replaced the Lord with the Canaanite god Baal, the weather god, the god that supposedly brings the storms and so forth so that the crops will grow. Now, last Sunday, we witnessed Elijah challenging the 450 prophets of Baal to a public showdown with King Ahab and all of Israel watching. It happened on Mount Carmel in northern Israel. Both contestants were to present a sacrificed bull on an altar, but neither was to ignite the sacrifice. Both were to call on their God to answer by sending fire from the sky to burn up the sacrifice. Baal's prophets went first, and they called on Baal to answer, to send fire, and they did it for hours, and nothing happened. Baal was a no-show. Elijah then stepped up and called on Yahweh, and immediately fire fell from the sky and incinerated the sacrifice on the altar to Yahweh, proving that Yahweh is the true God and Baal is a fraud. We learned from all of this last week that only the true God can pass the reality test. Then Elijah, as we saw last week, gathered all the prophets of Baal together and he had them executed. That's right. For breaking the command, God's command in the law of Moses against worshiping another god in Israel. And that's where we left off last Sunday. But today, as we pick up the story, we're in 1 Kings chapter 19. We find that Ahab's wife, Jezebel, is not at all impressed with this great light show that Yahweh put on. In fact, she's furious. We begin at verse 1 in chapter 19, and as always, I invite you to read aloud with me when we come to the yellow print. It says, "When Ahab got home, he told Jezebel everything Elijah had done, including the way he had killed all the prophets of Baal. So Jezebel sent this message to Elijah, May the gods strike me and even kill me if by this time tomorrow I have not killed you just as you killed them." Queen Jezebel is furious, and she vows to kill Elijah. Jezebel died 29 centuries ago, but the demonic spirit that empowered her still lives and, unfortunately, is living well in America. And she's just as dangerous now as she was back in Elijah's day. Our message today is entitled "The Wicked Witch of the World." We're learning about how the spirit of Jezebel is at war with us and how we can counter her today. You'll notice there on your outline that we have three lessons listed that you need to learn about Jezebel. And I invite you to fill in the blanks as we go through each one. The first lesson that you need to learn about Jezebel is Jezebel's ancient atrocities. She's been called the most wicked woman in the Bible, the Jezebel of the 9th century BC. How so? Why was she so bad to get that kind of a title? Well, first of all, she was a devoted Baal activist. Activist is what goes in the blank. Jezebel was a princess from the powerful government of Sidon. That's to the north of Israel. Today it's Lebanon, where Lebanon is. You can see Sidon here. It was a city-state, very powerful Phoenician city. And of course here is Israel. So they are neighboring nations. And the state god of Sidon was Baal. And Jezebel, since she was the daughter of the king of Sidon, was likely a high priestess of Baal. King Ahab had likely married her to form an alliance between Israel and Sidon. This kind of thing was common in those days. And when she became queen, she pressured her husband, King Ahab, to build a temple to Baal in Israel's capital city, the northern kingdom of Israel, and he did so. The nastiest part about Baal worship was that in times of crisis, Baal's worshipers sacrificed their children, burning the babies alive on altars to Baal. Incredible. Why? How could parents ever do such a thing to their children? Well, they were taught, they believed, that this would gain them personal prosperity. This atrocity, of course, infuriated God. But the idea was to induce Baal to bring rain so that the crops would grow. Well, how do you do that? Well, Baal's mistress, his consort, was the fertility goddess Asherah. We mentioned her last week in the message. She had to have sex with Baal in order for there to be fertility. This is what they believed. And so part of worshiping Baal and Asherah consisted of orgies at the altars in public view with prostitutes. And so if you worshiped Baal, you engaged in what scholars call sympathetic magic. Sympathetic magic is where worshipers copulate to seduce Baal and Asherah to unite sexually and to produce harvests. They watch this going on and they get turned on and they go to it. Now you can see how Baal worship, which promised prosperity, could be so seductive to an Israelite farmer. He's concerned, of course, about his family, and he's worried about fickle weather conditions. And he's told, look it, if you just worship Baal and you do these kinds of things, it's going to bring prosperity. Another of Jezebel's atrocities is the murder of God's prophets. But when Jezebel became a queen of Israel, she did something that was really unheard of in ancient history. She sought to change the official state religion of another nation, to change their god, in this case, to replace Yahweh, the God of Israel, with Baal. You see, normally you didn't do this. If you're a polytheist, that is, you believe in worshiping multiple gods, you realize that, hey, worshiping any god you want is fine. This is our god in this particular nation, but you worship any god you want. You certainly don't go and change some other nation's god. But, that's classic paganism. But Jezebel apparently resented the idea that Israel thought of Yahweh as the one and only God, the one true God, and that all the others were imposters. That angered her. And so she became hostile to Yahweh worship. She thought it was discriminatory, that you needed pluralism and so forth. And so she changed the state god from Yahweh to her god, Baal. And Jezebel didn't just do this, and don't ask, don't tell if you're a worshiper of Yahweh. No, she sought after, she hunted down the prophets of Baal to exterminate them, including Elijah. She said, this religion has to be canceled in our culture. Another of Jezebel's atrocities, she was a hater of men. Jezebel never met a man that she didn't either hate or thoroughly manipulate. She was a powerful, domineering woman who had virtually emasculated her husband, King Ahab, by turning him into a puppet king. And of course, she was pulling the strings. When Ahab wanted a man's property, this is one of her infamous stories. Well, Ahab couldn't get the property because the law prevented it, protected the man's property. And she said, hey, there's no problem with this. You just get the man killed. And so she showed him how to do it. She got some trumped up charges so that this poor man, this owner of this property, would be lynched by, or stoned to death by a lynch mob. And, of course, then she confiscated the property. This woman was vicious. She was cunning. She was ruthless. Well, whatever ended up happening to Jezebel? Well, one of Yahweh's prophets predicted that Jezebel would come to a grisly end and not even be buried. And so it happened. After Ahab died, Jezebel survived her husband. And she tried to seduce and overpower a new king of Israel. But he wasn't fooled by her. He commanded her servants to throw her out of an upper story window. She fell to the ground underneath and was trampled by horses. And later, when the king commanded that she be buried, they went and found nothing of her body except her skull, her hands, and her feet. She had been torn and eaten by wild dogs. That was the gruesome end to the wicked witch of the Old Testament. And yet, believe it or not, Jesus loved Jezebel. He even died for Jezebel's sins and would have gladly saved her had she repented. You say, what are you talking about? I mean, Jezebel lived 9 centuries before the birth of Christ. Yes, that's true, but the New Testament tells us that Jesus died for the sins of all generations. All the generations that lived before him, all that lived after his earthly ministry, and the generation that was alive during his ministry. We also know because when her spineless husband Ahab, Jezebel's husband Ahab, repented. God forgave him. Do you know, the Bible says that King Ahab was the most wicked king who had ever lived and reigned over Israel up to that point. He was a terrible man, but one of God's prophets rebuked him, and he repented. And guess what? God spared his life. God forgave him. Now, if God did this for wicked King Ahab, he certainly would have done it for Jezebel had she repented. You see, wicked as she was, Jezebel also reminds us that God's grace is greater than all of our sin. No matter what you've done, if you come to Christ in repentance and allegiance to him, whoever believes on him shall not perish but have everlasting life. The second lesson you need to learn about Jezebel, number two on your outline, is Jezebel's present day relevance. You say, okay, Randy, Jezebel was a wicked woman, but how could one shady lady who lived 29 centuries have anything to do with us today? I mean, she was in an obscure kingdom. Unless you're a Bible reader, you've probably never even heard of her. What does she have to do with us? Well, we know she has something to do with us because of what the risen Jesus says in the book of Revelation. 9 centuries later, the risen Jesus appeared to John on the island of Patmos. And Jesus speaks these words to the city of Thyatira in Asia Minor. Chapter 2 of Revelation, we begin at verse 20. This is the risen Lord speaking. He says, "But I have this complaint against you, church at Thyatira. You are permitting that woman, that Jezebel, who calls herself a prophet, to lead my servants astray. She teaches them to commit sexual sin and to eat food offered to idols. Help me. I gave her time to repent, but she does not want to turn away from her immorality. Therefore, I will throw her on a bed of suffering, and those who commit adultery with her will suffer greatly unless they repent and turn away from her evil deeds. I will strike her children dead. Then all the churches will know that I am the one who searches out the thoughts and intentions of every person, and I will give to each of you whatever you deserve." Wow. Ominous words from the risen Jesus himself. Jesus mentions a woman he calls Jezebel, who's causing terrible trouble in this church. What about this Jezebel? What's going on here? Well, just from this passage, we learn that she calls herself a prophet. Now, Jezebel in Elijah's day isn't called a prophet, but she's a devoted Baal activist, and she sponsored the 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of Asherah. It says right there in 1 Kings that they ate at her table. She had 850 people that she was caring for, these prophets, these false prophets. Second, this Jezebel in the book of Revelation is leading Jesus' followers astray, he says. Now, how is she doing that? Because, next, she's teaching them to commit sexual sin and participate in idolatry. Jesus says he gave her time to repent. Isn't that something? Jesus gave this woman time to repent. That's God's grace. And yet she refused. Thus, Jesus threatens to punish her and her followers with great suffering, it says, unless they repent. Again, offering God's grace, though certainly not deserved. Now, who was this woman actually? Well, New Testament scholars think that it's very unlikely that her real name was Jezebel. Jesus is giving her that nickname. You wouldn't call your daughter Jezebel any more than you would call your newborn son Adolf or Lucifer or Judas. It's just, you know, bad associations there. What Jesus is doing here is unmasking the real spirit behind this woman, because this false prophet undoubtedly had a demon. The New Testament teaches this kind of thing. And so the ancient Jezebel, the Jezebel of Elijah's day, becomes the archetype of a Jezebel-like behavior. In other words, she's the model. She becomes the original that all others after her follow. But she's more than just a model. This Jezebel in Thyatira was a false prophet with this spirit of Jezebel, this demonic entity, has become known by students of Scripture today as the Jezebel spirit. You'll hear this from time to time. Later, and this is where it comes from, later in the book of Revelation, this same spirit is unmasked as the great prostitute who controls the Antichrist for a long time and incites idolatry and sexual sin and actually kills Christians, just like Jezebel of old. Today, Jezebel is manifest in a major way in radical feminism. Radical feminism. Radical feminism is not just a healthy appreciation of women and a determination to treat them equally and fairly, which of course is a good thing. Radical feminism is a pernicious hatred of men, of marriage, and the nuclear family. Radical feminism is sexual immorality and gender confusion and idolatry and witchcraft and vehement Christophobia. Now, for more on this, you want to learn more about this whole topic, I recommend to you Dr. Michael Brown's excellent book, Jezebel's War with America. He published this last year, and I found it very helpful in preparing this message. You know, radical feminism actually idolizes Jezebel. They even have a website named Jezebel.com. They've even published what they call the Encyclopedia of Lady Things, the Book of Jezebel, it's called. And so they own her. They would say that it's misogynistic people that have blackened her name. Now, where do we see Jezebel today? Well, we see her in a number of manifestations. One is the worship of idols. Jezebel is infamous for many things, but idolatry, we might say, is her signature sin. What is an idol? It's not just a statue of stone or wood or precious metal. No, an idol is anything you give more devotion to than God. It can even be a good thing, a blessing from God, like your kids or your family or your workplace. We American Christians worship the idol of materialism all too often. The beautiful home, the boat, the giant screen TV, the clothes, the compulsive vacationing and entertainment. Things that are just priority in our lives. When I'm more passionate about these things than I am about the true God, I've been seduced by Jezebel, and I need to repent. All too often, I find this happening in my life. I feel the pull. Do you feel the pull? When you watch commercials that tell you, you gotta have this, you gotta have that, or you see neighbors that have something, I gotta have that too. It's called coveting. There's a commandment against it. And it's the spirit of Jezebel. Where do you see Jezebel? Well, next, you see her in sexual immorality. Jezebel is behind today's pandemic of immorality. Consider some statistics, alarming statistics. Porn sites receive more regular traffic than Netflix, Amazon, and Twitter combined. Can you believe that? 35% of all internet downloads are porn-related. At least 30% of all data transferred across the internet is porn-related. 34% of internet users have been exposed to unwanted porn via ads and pop-ups and etc. 22 studies from 7 different nations have found the consumption of pornography was significantly associated with increases in verbal and physical aggression. We talk about spousal abuse and sexual crimes. Pornography is often associated with it, if not at the root of it. If you view porn, you are 300% more likely to engage in extramarital affairs. Now, of course, even looking at porn involves you in an extramarital affair because that is adultery of the heart. That's what Jesus taught. But physically, you are 300% more likely if you get into porn. And folks, it's not just the world. It's the church. This is a pandemic in the church. Many Christians are strung out on pornography. Recall what Jesus said, that Jezebel teaches his servants to commit sexual sin. He teaches them to do this. And the way he's doing that, the textbook, is pornography today. This is Jezebel. Conversion therapy. Have you heard that term, conversion therapy? That's where a person gets help for gender confusion or homosexuality. Let's say I'm struggling with unwanted desires and I want to go for some counseling, professional Christian counseling. Well, in these states, it's against the law for me to get that kind of help. Even if I'm seeking it out, I want this kind of help. And you can see other places in the United States where it's against the law, and of course they want to make it across the entire nation. So you can't get it if you want it. And of course the next big thing that they're trying to do, and have succeeded partially in places, is for this, your kids come to you and say, Dad, Mom, I'm struggling. I don't want to feel this way. I need some help. You want to take your kid in for counseling? It's against the law. You could even get accused of child abuse. You see where this is going. This is Jezebel. Where do we see Jezebel? Witchcraft. Say, witchcraft? Yes. Ancient Jezebel practiced witchcraft. We see that in 2 Kings 9. Thursday, I just typed in on my computer, on my laptop, the rise of witchcraft in America. And here are the first 5 results that popped up. First, why is witchcraft on the rise? The Atlantic, that's a major publication. And the next one, the explosive growth of witches, Wiccan, and pagans. That's from QZ.com. The next one, when did everybody become a witch? Everybody? That's the New York Times, folks. just about a year ago. Next, is witchcraft too mainstream? That's just a few months ago on Pulitzer.com back in April. And then the last one, the fifth one, number of witches rises dramatically across the United States, and the part that gets cut off here, I went and looked at that site, dramatically across the United States as millennials reject Christianity. Yeah, millennials reject Christianity, and where do they turn? They turn to witchcraft. And these are major publications that are putting these things out. Folks, this is Jezebel. Where do we see Jezebel? Hatred for men. Radical feminists freely admit this. Now, you can find quotations all over the place on this. Let me just give you a few that I found. First, the proportion of men must be reduced to 10% of the human race. Don't ask me how they plan to do that, but that's the opinion of Sally Miller Gearhart. Another quote, man-hating is an honorable and viable political act that the oppressed have a right to class hatred against the class that is oppressing them. That's Robin Morgan. Another one, the nuclear family must be destroyed. That's Linda Gordon. Another one, the last one, since marriage constitutes slavery for women, it is clear that the women's movement must concentrate on attacking this institution. Freedom for women cannot be won without the abolition of marriage. That's Sheila Cronin. This is Jezebel. Where do we see Jezebel? We see it in silencing God's people. This is so rampant today that I barely need to cite evidence. Christian leaders are often censored on Facebook. It's happened to me. YouTube, Twitter, many other venues. Especially if you have a big ministry, they'll just shut it down or take down a particular post. We've seen God kicked out of the schools, out of the public squares. They'll label stuff hate speech and then take it down. And this is not something radical, something that you've never heard before, something, you know, seething with rage. No, this is long accepted biblical teaching on morality that gets flagged and shut down more recently. Some states allow all kinds of public gatherings except for churches. We're well acquainted with that debate, how churches have been often singled out in various places. Jezebel hates Christianity. When you feel intimidated into hushing up, guess what? That's Jezebel. Where do we see Jezebel? Next, sacrificing children. Since 1973, there have been over 62 million abortions. The main reason given? A baby would interfere, says the woman, with her work or her education or her finances. 62 million in the United States alone. Folks, that's more than the population of England. Did you know that? Here in America, an entire nation has been wiped out through abortion. And often, how these children die, how they die in these later term abortions, screaming, being tortured to death, being torn limb from limb, being burned to death. You wouldn't treat a dog this way, and yet it's happening. Under Jezebel, whole nations have been sacrificed. Did you know that 62 million, that's more than the population of Peru and Venezuela combined, folks? That's what we've done in this country. Sacrificed to the gods of ignorance and the gods of convenience. Abortion activists used to say that abortion should be safe, legal, and rare. You remember that? You may remember hearing those kinds of statements. Today, they've dropped the word rare. You won't hear that anymore from them. There's even the Shout Your Abortion movement, where women proclaim loudly and gladly. They make videos of them shouting how happy they are that they aborted their child. This is Jezebel, folks. Every bit as pernicious as sacrificing children to Baal. They too thought it was for their prosperity. This is what we need to do for economic stability for us. Now let me hasten to say, I know many frightened women have been convinced that abortion is the only option. That it's normal, that it's okay, that it's just a blob of tissue in there. There's no safe place to turn for them, they think, and abortion is their only alternative. Many women feel guilt over past abortions, thinking that this is the unpardonable sin. I know, I've counseled women like this. Now, all of this is Jezebel's deception. God's people care. There are excellent alternatives to abortion. There are people ready to help. We support the Crossroads Center, Pregnancy Center, where a woman in a crisis pregnancy can find help and support all the way through her pregnancy and beyond. And there are plenty of places just like that all over the United States. We're ready to help, to take in children. Jesus offers forgiveness. He died for you. He rose from the dead. He loves you. Coming to Him in repentance and trust, you'll find forgiveness. You'll find healing. You'll find peace in Jesus. The third lesson you need to learn about Jezebel, number three on your outline, is Jezebel's defeat. You say, okay, Randy, you've got us all spooked now. What do we do? What do we do about this? Well, let me just boil it down to our main idea. The one thing you need to remember, if you forget everything else I say, and if you're taking notes, and I hope you are, you'll want to write it down. It goes like this. Vanquish Jezebel with Jesus. I know it sounds so simple, but it really is true. Vanquish Jezebel with Jesus. You know, Revelation, the book of Revelation, foretells her ultimate demise. But now there are things that we can do every day. First of all, I have them listed there on your outline. The first one is learn to identify the Jezebel spirit. She's everywhere. I smell her perfume in my life all too often. And if you don't, you might be under her spell. You say, oh, I'm a Christian. A Christian can't get attacked by the devil. What are you talking about? The demons attack us far more than they attack the unbelievers. Of course, start with yourself. Start with yourself. Ask, this is the next point, how have I been influenced by her? And then repent. She can attack you during a TV commercial. She can attack you when reading Facebook posts. She can attack you, seduce you into watching something you shouldn't be watching. Every morning and night, I search my heart. And I cry out to the Lord, show me, open my eyes to where I have been polluted, where I've sinned against you. Lord, forgive me of my trespasses as I forgive those who trespass against me. Genuine revival begins when we humble ourselves and repent of our sins. Next, beware of overreacting to her. Guys, this is where we're vulnerable, especially when we overreact to radical feminism by becoming domineering or insulting to women or bossy, even just with jokes. We feed Jezebel. Chauvinism is not the answer to Jezebel. Jesus is. Jesus calls us to be like him, to be Christ-like spiritual leaders in the home, to lay down our lives. Jesus didn't yank his followers around. He washed their feet. He said, I am among you as one who serves. That's the kind of leadership God has called us to. Next, pray against the Jezebel spirit. Revival is birthed in prayer. I challenge you to up your prayer time. Up it by half. If you pray 10 minutes a day, if that's what you normally do, try bumping it up to 15. If you pray 30 minutes a day, typically, bump it up to 45 minutes. If you typically pray an hour a day, bump it up to 90 minutes. You say, what am I going to pray for in all that time? Well, for one thing, the prayer letter that I send out virtually every week. I send it out on email to our list. If you're not on that list, sign up for it. Just put it on your connection card. I want to be on the prayer letter. Put your email address. We'll send it right to you every week, usually on Wednesday. And you can pray through that. It has all kinds of requests from the week here at Stony Creek Church. You can go on a prayer walk. Go on a prayer walk and pray for the different homes in your neighborhood or the different businesses that are nearby or the people in the cars that are driving by. Pray for them. You may not know them, but just pray for them that the Lord would move in their lives and touch them and bring them to Him. Pray as a family. Pray as married couples. Next and last, don't let Jezebel silence your witness. Too often Jezebel has silenced me, intimidated me into silence. Can you relate to that? Can you relate to that? I want to change that in my life. I'm praying and I'm working on it to be much more open with people about Jesus. If your friends know your political stance, but they don't know you're a believer, that's Jezebel. That's Jezebel. Maybe you have a political sign in your yard. Nothing wrong with that. But are you equally showy about Jesus in the best sense, demonstrative for him? If not, well, that's Jezebel. Join me in campaigning for Jesus, promoting him for king, his kingdom, his policies, his solutions. Let's make the church great again. Amen? All right, why don't you stand with me? We're going to close our service here in just a moment. If you have your offering with you, you've brought a check or cash and you want to give that, please deposit that in the orange bucket in the back. And if you gave online, this is our opportunity just to dedicate our gifts to the Lord here publicly. If you're hurting or you need spiritual counsel, maybe you need healing in your life or something's going on, you need prayer, you want to become a Jesus follower, come on down here right after the service and pray or counsel with one of our pastoral prayer team members. All right, let's dedicate this offering to the Lord. Father, thank you so much that you haven't just identified Jezebel, but you've promised that she's going to fall as the old Jezebel did. And you've already defeated her at the cross. May we walk in that victory. May we claim that victory. May we take her on. May we not just defend ourselves. May we take precautions as we do against the coronavirus. May we take precautions against the Jezebel virus. And Lord, not just that, but to do the things we have learned today to counter her in our own personal lives. Lord, bring us to revival, each one of us and this church. We pray and we give you these gifts as an act of worship in Jesus' name. Amen.